The text this evening is Ecclesiastes 12, verses 1 through 8. It's found on page 595 in your pew Bible, if you'd follow along. Ecclesiastes 12, 1 through 8. Listen to the Word of God. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun and the light, the moon and the stars are not darkened, and the clouds do not return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men bow down, when the grinders cease because they are few and those that look through the windows grow dim, when the doors are shut in the street and the sound of grinding is low, when one rises up at the sound of a bird and all the daughters of music are brought low, also they are afraid of height and of terrors along the way. When the almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper is a burden and desire fails. For man goes to his eternal home and the mourners go about the streets. Remember your Creator before the silver cord is loosed or the golden bowl is broken or the pitcher shattered at the fountain or the wheel broken at the well. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, all is vanity. Thus ends the reading of God's word. Let's look to him in prayer. Our good and gracious Heavenly Father, we pray that you would attend us with your presence tonight, that you would open your word to us, that you would send your spirit to be at work within us and among us, that we might not only hear, but believe and act according to your word by the power of your spirit at work within us. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The story is told of an elder at First Presbyterian Church in Columbia who did not grow up in a Christian home. And he graduated from college, went to law school, got married, became a young partner in one of the prominent firms there in Columbia, and did not lead a dissolute life, but was certainly in the party scene. But then children came along, and when his daughter was about five, he and his wife decided that their daughter needed some religious instruction. And they didn't think that they were the ones to give it to her. And so they decided to take her to Sunday school at First ARP. And I understand that he really chose that church because it's a socially prominent church in Columbia, and a lot of important people attend there. But the one decision that he did make was that he wasn't going to simply take her to Sunday school, drop her off, and come back later to pick her up. That if he was going to do this, he was going to do it with her. And so he began to attend services at that church. Shortly after he began attending, the minister at the time began a series on the book of Genesis. And the man says that he was sitting there in the congregation toward the back as he was wont to do. And the preacher read, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." He says, "At that point, the hair on the back of my neck stood up because I knew that it was true and that I was in big trouble." Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. It's not simply a remembering in the way that we use the word remember, but a calling to mind, a thinking on, a contemplation of, a consideration of your Creator. The first question of the Shorter Catechism asks, about our purpose, our aim, our goal in life? And the answer involves worship and enjoyment of God forever. Remember your Creator. It's very easy for us to say, oh yes, I recognize that God is my Creator. I recognize that God is the Creator, that everything in heaven and on earth, everything visible and invisible, was created by God. It's very easy to say that and to think that and yet not understand the consequences of that affirmation, not understand the consequences of that truth, the consequences that that lawyer understood that Sunday morning in First ARP in Columbia, that if God made you, He owns you. And you owe Him your allegiance and your service. You owe Him your obedience and your love. You are not some inanimate object created by a human artist simply for beauty or for display. You are an intelligent creature designed to display the glory and character of your Maker. And so the call comes to us, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Now the word here is not youth precisely, but really the vigor and strength that is so often primarily the belongs to the young. Remember your Creator, if you will, while you have the strength for it, while you have the vigor for His service, while you're capable of doing that which He would call you to do. And we're given actually four warnings here, four befores, or three befores, and then one more observation. First of all, before the evil days come and the years draw near, of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. What does Solomon mean by this, before the evil days come? I think really he means by this when the reality of disappointment dawns on us. Now, you children and you young people have no doubt had disappointments. There was the birthday or the Christmas when you didn't get what it was that you were really hoping for. There was the time that there was something at school that you wanted to accomplish or you wanted to achieve or you wanted to be maybe a school play or something, and you didn't get it, and you were disappointed. And those are very real disappointments, and I don't want to deny that they are real disappointments. And the fact of the matter is, some of them are so significant that you will remember them 40, 50, 60 years from now, if you are still alive. They will still occasionally come to your mind. But the kind of disappointment, the kind of evil days, the kind of years in which you say, I have no pleasure in them, come when you're an adult. And all of you adults here, perhaps some of you younger adults not yet, but all of you older adults know the time. Maybe you can't recall an exact date, but you know the feeling that you realized that your life was not going to be what you had hoped it would be. That the purposes and plans that you had for your life were not going to work out. that the accomplishments that you had dreamed were not going to come to pass. That God had not seen fit to put you on the path that you thought was yours. And that's a big disappointment. It's not just a temporary disappointment. It's not just a small thing regarding a gift not received or a part not assigned. It's your life. It's your substance. It's what you had hoped for. And for most of us, some of us, God is pleased to give us dreams. We don't dream too high, perhaps, and maybe some even exceed their dreams. But for most of us, those days, that evil day will come. And you look at it, and you look at your life, and suddenly it's not what you thought it was. It's not what you had hoped it was going to be. And the prospect, the future, looks dark. If you don't remember your Creator before that day comes, that day can be utterly devastating. It can destroy your life. But if you remember your Creator, if you know your Creator, then you know that that which you had dreamed of, that which you had hoped for, that perhaps which you had even planned and labored for, that is not now going to happen, that is not now going to come to pass, God has something different for you. God has something better for you. It may not seem so at the time, but it is true. But only if you remember your Creator before that day comes. The second before we find in verses 2 through 5. And that, I think, is the before age. Now, Solomon uses a number of images here, and some interpreters try to see it as an allegory of age. But I think really, primarily what Solomon is doing here is asking us to imagine a town, imagine a village that is in decline, that is falling apart. Those of you who were raised on Westerns can remember the scene in a Western movie where the hero rides into town and the wind is blowing and the tumbleweeds are tumbling along the street and the town looks decrepit. That's the image that Solomon is using here. When the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened and the clouds return after the rain. Those of you who are young now, those of you who are children now, probably don't know that. But as you get older, things become more difficult. Things that were easy when you were young are not easy. Things that you could do when you were young, you might not be able to do anymore. And there's a tendency with age to become depressed. Partly as a result of the realization that you're not going to be all that you wanted to be. That the army lied to you when they said, be all you can be. It didn't happen. You went into the army and it didn't happen. You didn't become a general. But there's a tendency then to dwell on those things and to become discouraged. And even when the sun shines, you're not looking for the silver lining behind the clouds. You're looking at the clouds around the silver lining. In the day when the keepers of the house tremble, and the strong men are bent, and the grinders cease because they are few. Imagine an old town, a town in ancient Israel, with the women out grinding their grain during the day, sharing the gossip of the village, but gradually, as the village declines, the number of women declines, and there's maybe one or two, and the village is about at its end. And those who look through the windows are dimmed, and the doors on the street are shut, and the sound of the grinding is low when one rises up at the sound of a bird. And again, all of these, I don't want to press the images too far. Some have argued that some of these images are images of the increasing weakness of the body. That the grinders cease because they are few refers to the teeth. Now, most of us here have most of our teeth. But in ancient Israel or in most societies even today, that's not true. And it becomes harder to eat when you get old because the grinders cease. Because they are few. And perhaps those who look through the windows are dimmed refers to the dimming of the eyes, often a difficulty with old age. In a day before cataract surgery, many were blinded as a result of cataracts. Or in the days before glasses and contact lenses, just the natural aging of the eye and perhaps some nearsightedness or some farsightedness or some other difficulties with the eye make it difficult to see. And so maybe that's part of the image here. But again, the idea is of increasing decline and of increasing weakness. And increasing decline and increasing weakness always provoke increasing discouragement. And so remember your Creator. In the days before that comes to pass. Because if you don't, then you're subject to that kind of discouragement, that kind of depression, that kind of negative view on life. But if you remember your Creator before those days come, then you see that this is actually a natural part of life in a fallen world. That the soul that sins, it shall die. That the repeated refrain of Genesis 5, and he lived X number of years and he died. And he lived Y number of years and he died. And he lived Z number of years and he died. Applies to you as well. And at the end of your life, you will die. And your picture may appear in the newspaper with an obituary, and it may be a short one, or it may be a really long one, depending on what you accomplished or what your family thinks of you at the time of your demise. But if you've remembered your Creator, then those things are not so bad. Then those things are not so bad. I'll say some more about that in a moment. But then the final before, in verse 6, before the silver cord is snapped or the golden bowl is broken or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain or the wheel broken at the cistern. And again, just think of that village, the empty square, the broken vessels around the well, deserted, empty. Before death, as the end of the verse makes plain, or verse 7 makes plain, and the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. It is appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. Once you die, then the judgment. And so remember your Creator before you die. And some of you are sitting here thinking, I've got all kinds of time. I don't have to worry about that yet. There was a, you know, it's prom season and graduation season. And the media always runs these don't drink and drive stories during this season of the year. And I caught the tail end of one on 2020 the other night about an 18-year-old girl, high school graduate. She and her best friend had gone to a graduation party. And she had gotten drunk and she drove. And as a result, her friend is dead. And she's looking at several years in prison. And as the prosecutor said to the reporter, nobody likes these cases. Everybody hates these cases. There's no justice. There's no good answer. But you don't necessarily have a lot of time. You know, for some of you here, 25 is old and 30 is unimaginably old. But you don't necessarily have it. Noticed an obituary in the paper yesterday. A young man, 25, he was a firefighter. It didn't say what he died of, but I assume a heart attack just because donations were suggested to the American Heart Association. 25. Four young children and a wife. You don't necessarily have the time. Don't think to yourself, oh, I can wait 10 years. I can wait 20 years. My life expectancy is 76 if you're a female. Hey, if you're 16 now, you've got another 60 years that you can wait. Don't fool yourself. Remember your Creator before you die. The warning of all those befores, the importance of all those befores is really do it now. Do it now. Because you don't know when that day of reckoning is going to come, that evil day, you don't know whether you're going to become old. And if you do, who knows whether you'll be in your right mind? We all know someone or know someone who knows someone who has Alzheimer's. Some people have early onset Alzheimer's. We heard of someone, a man the other day who is 50 and he's been diagnosed with Alzheimer's. How much longer will his mind be sufficiently intact that he can remember his Creator and remember before you die? Before the dust returns to the earth as it was and the spirit returns to God who gave it, do it now. And then finally, verse 8, vanity of vanities, says the preacher. All is vanity. What does he mean by that? And why does he attach it at the end of this wonderfully imaginistic set of propositions? He's reminding us that this life is vain. Not that it's meaningless. I know some of you are reading the NIV. That's what you have in front of you. and it says, meaningless, most meaningless is everything, all is meaninglessness. That's not what the word means. It means that life is temporary. Life is short. It's ephemeral. It's like a breath. It's like a puff of wind. It's here and then it's gone. This life is not meaningless. This life is of ultimate importance because what you do now counts for eternity. What is it? What's the line that Jesus encourages his disciples with? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. That was not stuff that they did after they died. That was stuff they did while they were in this brief, vain life. It was what they did in the here and now that counted for eternity. Some of you have read John Piper's book, Don't Waste Your Life. Well, that's the message. Don't waste your life. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Some of you know the name Wallace Stevens. There's actually, in the 20th century, two Wallace Stevenses that are somewhat significant. One of them caused the King of England to give up his crown. An American divorcee, he said, I'd rather have her than the crown of England. The other was a poet who was raised in a fairly strict Presbyterian household, as many of you here have been. But as he grew and came of age, he forgot his Creator. An important poet in the 20th century. But he said at the age of 73, at my age, it would be nice to be able to make up my mind about God, say, before it is too late, or at least before he makes up his mind about me. It sounds a little flippant, read without context. I don't think he intended it so. Because you see, he was getting old. He died within the next 3 years after he wrote those lines. And he was facing an uncertain future. He had been raised in the church. He had been raised in a good church with good, godly parents. And yet, when it came to the end of his life, he had forgotten his Creator. His work will last and certainly has lasted beyond his death. And who knows, it may last several centuries more should Christ put off his return. But he faced a future, an eternity that was certain, a certainty of judgment, a certainty of hell. You know, that lawyer in the church in Columbia went on to become an elder in the church. I don't know what will happen with you. You young people, you children, you older folks. But of one thing I'm certain. Remember your Creator now, while there's time. And this vain life, this brief life, will count for eternity. But forget your Creator now and die without Him, and this life will count for nothing, regardless of what you accomplished, regardless of what you achieved, regardless of the esteem in which you were held by your contemporaries and your peers, it will count for nothing. You know, we all harbor this secret desire to count, to be important. We all want to be significant. We all want to make a contribution. Well, it may be a great contribution, it may be a small one, but if you remember your Creator in the days of your youth, it will be an eternal contribution. If you don't, your contribution will die with you. Reading history is interesting because you find all of these people who were so significant and so important in their day, but who barely make it into the history books now, and whose accomplishments are entirely forgotten. You know, in another 30 years, world trade centers will have very little meaning. A whole couple of generations, or at least one generation, will have grown up without seeing those twin towers on the New York skyline. Once the tallest buildings in the world, gone and forgotten. And in not too long a time. But if you remember your Creator in the days of your youth, you'll be remembered by the one who counts. You know, it's funny to read 1 Chronicles 1-9, all those names, all of those unpronounceable Hebrew names. And yet, God knows every one. They are all important to Him. If you remember your Creator in the days of your youth, you will join that vast number. So if you don't hear anything else I've said tonight, hear the testimony of that elder. When I heard the words, God, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, the hair stood up on the back of my neck. And I knew that it was true and that I was in big trouble. Now, he remembered his Creator and he made peace with his Creator through the Lord Jesus Christ. I urge you, if you haven't tonight, do. And if you've been fooling yourself about it, thinking you have time, do it now. Because you don't know what tomorrow will bring. Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the warnings of your word, the encouragements of your word, to present ourselves before you as vessels for honor. We pray that you would be at work within us tonight, that if there are any here who are playing with God, that you would be at work in their hearts to bring them to remember their Creator even now. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.